Excellent. So my name is Jonathan Lang, and I'm here to talk to you about unit test. Unit test is a module in the standard library, and the main premise of my talk is that unit test is not broken, and we should fix it. The idea here is that the idea that my talk rests on is that the unit test module is actually a pretty good thing, and it's often a little bit misunderstood. And if people understood it a little bit better, the entire world would be a better place. Almost like as if there were no landmines, except not quite as good as that. I have a couple of reasons for being reluctant to do this talk. The first reason is that the guy who has helped me understand a lot of this, the guy whose idea this was, isn't here, and he was originally going to co-present. There is a different Robert Collins here who may be just as wonderful a person. I haven't met Robert Collins, the guy who co-wrote this talk, isn't here. The other reason is that every time I've talked about unit test or seen unit test talked about, there's been something of a lively discussion about what's good, what's bad, what we do over here, what they do over there. It seems to often devolve into ideology and mudslinging. I think this is really interesting, and so what I would really like to do is finish this talk quickly to fail fast and have a time for questions afterwards, where we can actually talk about, get some ideas going. What I'm going to do is structure the talk in four points. I'm going to have this talk about how unit test works, the way it's structured internally in the module. I'm going to talk about extending unit test, how you can actually do that. I'm going to look at some good ways of doing this and some bad ways of doing this. I'm the author of one of the bad ways, so it'll be a very public, there'll be a certain level of humility there. Then just look at some of the good points and the bad points of the module, just very briefly, and then we'll go back to the cage deathmatch. Incidentally, my favorite color of bike shed is dark slate gray, back from old Emacs days. So unit test is actually pretty good. I rushed these slides a little bit, but unit test is a module, as you all know. What is it? It helps you write tests. Except that from the point of view of the module design, it's kind of an incidental detail. It's really an API for manipulating and running tests. But it's not even really that. It's actually more specifically manipulating and running arbitrary user code that has a narrow and predefined range of results. You're probably familiar with success, failure, and error. I'm certainly familiar with failure. In unit test itself, there's a bunch of code. There's particularly in Python 3.1, that's now growing bigger and bigger. But there are three core classes that maintain it, that comprise its essential structure. You have the class, and these classes correspond quite well to concepts. You have the class that finds an arbitrary chunk of user code, or finds lots of arbitrary chunks of user code. That's called the test loader. You have the class that, an instance of which represents the arbitrary chunk of user code, the test case. And you have a class that collects the results of this, which is the test result object. None of the other classes matter. None of the other classes are relevant. Test runner is a mistake, and test suite is just a way of grouping together test cases. You can do some interesting things with it, but it's not relevant to its core structure. In this talk, I'll also be ignoring test loader because I want to keep it short. Test case has a narrow interface. This may not be the interface you're familiar with. It has five methods that are actually called on objects outside of the test case. It's got a thing for counting, a thing for describing it. It has another thing for describing it. I don't know why it has two. It has a way of running it and another way of running it, which no one ever uses. Run test result, item four on that list, is the most commonly called thing. It's the most significant one. It gets passed a test result object and doesn't return anything defined. You rarely call these when you subclass test case. You only call assert equal or setup or teardown or whatever. That's because that what I just described there is the public interface, what you do in your subclass. That's the, I don't know, it's the inheritance interface. Python, to me, doesn't have a particularly good way of delineating these concepts. But there it is. Test result has a slightly less narrow interface, and this interface has been getting wider, which is good. It's a way of handling events with tests. You have a way of starting, saying, hey, this test started, this test stopped, this test failed, this test succeeded. And was this whole result object, does it represent a successful run? That's how, what it looked like CircuitPython 2.3. Since then, I believe recently in 2.7 and 3.1, Python has got extended results. So you can say things, rather than this failed, you said, I knew this was going to fail, so we expected a failure, or this test got skipped. It's used for reporting test activity. So what you do is you take a test case object, an instance of an arbitrary chunk of usable code, and you say, I'm going to run it, and I want the results stored over here. It's pretty simple. And then that run method itself calls lots of add foo methods on the test result, like, you know, add success or add failure or add error. It's interesting to note that you can call add error more than once. This is really handy for tests where you want them to fail if they log an error into the system logger of your application or something like that, but they can also raise exceptions. That's how it works. I personally found it a lot easier to understand how the unit test module fit together when I started looking at how to extend unit test and having a look at examples of how to extend unit test. And I'm something of a cynical and negative person, so I like starting with the bad examples. And I'd like to focus on examples of ways of extending unit tests that solve quite a common problem. So I work at Canonical, I work on Launchpad. Our test suite takes 4.5 hours to run. We hate this. It slows down our entire project, and it sucks. Partly, this is because we have resources that are complicated to set up, and we don't want to set them up and tear them down every test. We do it for many of our tests, and this is sort of waste. Like, you only need to start an SSH server so many times in a test run before, you know, it becomes redundant. So it would be good to have a way of sharing expensive resources between tests. Twisted used to have, and probably still does because of its wonderful backwards compatibility policy, Twisted still has a way of sharing expensive resources between tests. This is part of the trial framework, which I'm the most significant contributor to, I guess. The way it does this is it has two methods on test case called setup class and teardown class. Now, you might be able to figure out how this works. You define a setup class method. You define a setup class method that sets attributes, like sets up the SSH server and then assigns that as an attribute on the class. And then every test in that test class, that subclass is there, gets an access to that SSH server attribute. What that means is that you're sharing, rather than having one object per test, which is a really great thing and part of the implicit contract that unit test has, you have one object that gets used to represent multiple tests. NUnit does this by default, or used to do this by default, and the author said it was one of the biggest mistakes he made. I certainly think this is a big mistake, because what it means, you define attributes, okay. What it means is that the correctness of your tests, the result of your test run, depends on the ordering of the tests. Which is a bad idea, because it means you can't run subsets of your tests. It means you can't parallelize your test suite with ease. It means you can't randomize the run and interleave tests from one class with another. And it also breaks the implicit contract of unit test, which means that you can't use other extensions that don't break the contract. A test case instance needs to be a standalone atomic thing. Run should run the test. The next example addresses the same problem. It's Zope. It's in Zope. It's layers. I don't know. Are any of you familiar with this? Okay, Zope testing layers. Okay, there are some people. It solves a similar problem. What you do in your test is you define a magical layer attribute. So it can be something like database layer or SSH server layer or in our case, I think we've got one called Launchpad Functional Database Librarian Google App Server layer. It does everything. Zope has a special magical loader that finds these tests, with this attribute and constructs the tests in a particular special way. It also then uses and depends on a special magical test result object to store state about which layers are being used. This means that you can't take a test object in written in this layer-like fashion. You can't take it, construct it, and run it. You break the API. And while it's okay if all you're ever doing is running Zope tests, if all you're doing is running in the Zope world, what it means is you can't use a GUI, like a test running GUI, to run your tests. It means you can't use statistics gathering modules to run your tests. It means that you can't easily parallelize your tests using standard modules that exist. You have to use the Zope infrastructure, and you're bound to it, which means that also improvements in the Zope world can't make their way out into the Python world, the rest of the Python world. So how do you extend unit test? What's the right way of extending unit test? Well, here's what Rob came up with. He came up with a thing called test resources, which you can get now if you'd like. It's very, very easy to get. It's very small. The idea is that you have a resource manager object, and these objects you can acquire and release resources. So it does something like ref counting. So you acquire it, it builds the first one, you get more of them, and then when you release them all, then it destroys them. You can also mark them as dirty to force a reclean. When you want to use them in your tests, you subclass test case, you define a resources attribute, and then resource test case has a customized setup and teardown that acquire and release these resources. You don't need to subclass it. You can, it makes it easier. If you don't, you can just call the resource manager objects directly. Running a single instance of this works. You can construct a test case object, get it, and it works. And then it has a special optimized test suite object where if you put all these tests in, then it orders it so that the tests that use the same resource are all grouped together using a traveling salesman problem solving kind of algorithm. So that you don't want to have too many resources. So it doesn't affect test results at all. It doesn't affect the test loading at all so much. It maintains the contract of unit test. And you can use it with other things like subunit, which is, I'm not going to talk about it too much, but subunit is a thing you can also get from Launchpad that lets you... So it's a customized test result that allows you to run tests out of process. So it's like a protocol for unit test results with some convenience classes for integrating this in your test suite. A few years ago, I used subunit to run our JavaScript unit tests at DivMod inside our Python unit test run. So we could just run our test suite, and it would run all of our Python tests and all of our JavaScript unit tests. You can use it to run Perl tap tests, and you can use it to run C check tests, all again in your Python main test running object, which is great for integration. We also use it to run, Bazaar uses subunit so that you can parallelize test suites easily without having to worry about it. Bazaar has a plugin called EC2 test that will spawn n EC2 instances and distribute your test run over n EC2 instances, collating all of the results into one result. This is built on subunit, which is an extension to unit test that obeys the implicit contract of unit test that can be mixed in with other extensions of unit test. I contend that the unit test model is approximately right. I also further contend that the unit test code and the unit test documentation don't make this particularly clear. I think this is evidenced by the fact that a lot of very smart people have done some very cool stuff with other testing frameworks that hasn't got into the standard library or that have taken different approaches. Whenever I hear about features in Nose and PyTest, I'm often jealous because at Launchpad, I'm particularly stuck with using Zope Test Runner. What I would really love to see, my heart's desire, is I really want to see a suite of interoperable extensions to unit test or to some theoretical standard unit testing framework that isn't unit test. Unit test isn't broken. Sorry, I'm from the colonies, my English isn't great. It's not broke, we should fix it. There are a couple of bugs. I think there are a couple of minor bugs. I think they're being fixed. Michael Ford recently has done some great work, and I'm really grateful to him, particularly for adding add cleanup to unit tests. Are you guys familiar with that at all? No. Hands up. Like, big hands. I can't see. I'm blind. Okay. So add cleanup. Add cleanup is a way of, when you're running a test, when you've got a test and you might get some resource that needs to be cleaned up, you can go add cleanup and pass it a function with some arguments. When the test is over, if like in teardown essentially, it'll run those functions. So it kind of builds up a stack of cleanups and then pops that stack of cleanups. This is better than teardown. So in some ways this kind of replaces teardown. It's better than teardown because you can use it to write tests that get resources dynamically. So often I find myself writing a test like, generate, get me an SSH key, and then I write another test that says, get me two SSH keys, and I need to delete them when I'm done. So I could go generate the SSH key and then add a cleanup that deletes it, and then write that as a function, and then my tests call that. It's very handy. But unit tests still has some bugs. Count test cases, we saw earlier in the interface, is a terrible idea. Count test cases works on this wonderful assumption that you know exactly what you're going to do before you do it. This is a fundamental lie of software engineering, and anything that assumes it should be destroyed, like count test cases. Instead, there should be better ways of reporting progress. Another big thing that's bitten massive tests, or big test suites, not massive ones, big test suites like Twisted, like Launchpad, like Zope, like Bazaar, is that when you run your test case, you load all of your tests, or sometimes you load a subset based on the discovery tool, but you certainly load all of the tests that you're going to run before you run any of them. And then as you run these tests, they remain in memory. And so you're often doing some quite expensive stuff in your tests, and your test suite can actually use a lot of memory. This is not an insoluble problem. It would be very easy to fix, but it hasn't been addressed. The biggest problem, however, in my actually, to be quite frank, quite arrogant opinion, is the culture of interoperability. Like, there's in the Python testing world, basically we're all stuck. I do unit testy stuff. Nose people do nose stuff. PyTest people do PyTest stuff. Zope people don't seem to care. And pardon?
It's unit test.
Yeah. Do you think that unit test is the cause of the interoperability? Yeah. I don't mean to... Well, actually, this leads well onto my next slide. that's essentially all I have to say in structured form. I'd like to talk now about this culture of interoperability, what we can do to share testing stuff and infrastructure better, and what things I've got wrong and what I might have wrong. Chris. Yeah, I'll repeat the question. So the question was, what was that thing that was like Zope layers but is a lot more interoperable? And the answer is test resources.
Is it really the
open
source version?
I don't know if it's on PyPI, but I think it's packaged in Ubuntu. And if not, I can... test resources. Sorry, I didn't catch your name.
Michael.
My
first question is along those lines. So you mentioned about three libraries that do things properly.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned about three modules that do things properly in a way that you can extend unit test in an interoperable manner.
Yep.
All of which you just had BZR repositories for. Are those in the Python packaging index?
That I couldn't say. They should be. If they're not,
Okay. Well, that leads into my second question, which is what I like about Nose is that there's a clearly defined plugin system where, like, I wrote a Windmill plugin for Nose, and when you install Windmill, you just get everything in the Nose output, and I didn't need to worry about somebody downloading a module from BZR and extending the results manager in such a way that it's going to be interoperable with my stuff.
Sure,
it just works.
Right.
So what is the advantage to doing things that way with unit tests rather than using nodes?
I would say that the advantages of doing it unit test this way, at least. What do I mean by this? I can't do it that way, is probably what I mean. I can't use nodes.
Why not?
Because I work in a
project. At least it's in PyPy.
Right, so it's in PyPy, but it doesn't work with Zope testing layers, which my project depends on. So in some ways, the universe is already broken. And although I could, in theory, for all of my new projects, use nodes, which I probably should do it for at least one, I can't make it interoperate with the stuff I've already got. Doing things that interoperate with the standard library is a much better starting point if you want to interoperate with other broken things, because...
Well, but not if I have to download something from BZR.
So, I mean, you're more than welcome to criticize my own personal diligence in releasing software, but I don't think that addresses the heart of the problem, although, I mean, maybe you think otherwise. Just over there, I think. Sorry, we'll work it. Oh, wait, yeah, sorry. You, that way, sorry. This is so much fun. Sorry, I can't hear.
Firstly, we could just send the microphone to whoever's nearest and then move it that way.
Excellent idea.
Second thing is, what you just outlined is the rationale for unit test 2. I'm actually saying we'll do a new unit testing module that actually makes sense, then ask everybody else, like Zope testing, to interoperate with this new sensible module that they've all had a chance to provide input into.
Right. So I think...
But it would have to be in the standard library.
So I would... So I would suggest that... I think that the things that are in unit test only need to be fixed incrementally. I think the design is actually pretty good. I think that the problem is that it's not documented well enough. Perhaps this broken world is enough reason to provoke a new unit testing module, but I tend to agree with these other people. Like, if standard libraries where average code goes to die.
So I have the microphone. I mean, this discussion about interoperability of plugins and extensions to unit test is going on, I think, for how long? 7-8 years or something?
A very long time.
And I think there's a reason why it's kind of hard to do that based on unit test. And that's an interesting discussion as well. And I think there is some initial discussion on what actually needs to be done to have that. And NOSE and PyTest actually have come up with models that, for example, allow you to at least have something like adding command line options work, you know? It's right. Like a very simple thing. And in unit test, there's basically no model at all. And I think that that is one of the problems I see, and because you're saying fight, is that, in my opinion, unittest.py doesn't actually... I mean, what do you mean if you say... What do you mean with unit test model, actually? You said a lot of things, actually, on the classes that you shouldn't recognize in unit test. Forget about them. Don't use them. What, in your opinion, is the very core of the unit test model?
Sure. I think the core is you need an object that is the object that represents the chunk of code that can be run, right?
Okay.
That's test case. Okay. Test case.run is the beating heart of unit test.
Right. Okay.
There's a test suite object that's implements the composite pattern, the gang of four composite pattern, on top of test case. It's not super interesting, but it's part of the way it works. It means that you can treat a whole bunch of test cases just like one. There's the test loader object, which I deliberately didn't talk about because I wanted to get to this bit, which takes some sort of specification for where your tests are, finds them, and loads them. And then there's the test result object, which is really a thing that responds to events in a test run. And I think that those are the core elements of unit test. And that when people extend unit tests, when people come up with testing things, they often don't think in terms of, is this an event handler for test runs? Is this a way that customizes the way tests themselves are run? Is it a way that customizes the way tests are discovered? On the argument, on the command line thing, I think that that's a separate, that these three things are a core layer and that they're not good enough. You need more. So I'm happy to have things that run command lines, but there's stuff that you can do at a lower level that's very interesting. Yeah, with I agree, and there are, and in a lot of big projects that use tests have customized assertions that give better error messages. BZRLib's assert equal failure is better than standard unit tests. Sorry.
Yeah, hello, my name's Jonathan Fine. I've got a bit of a beginner's mind in all this, and which according to the last talk is actually an advantage. I see the biggest problem, one of the big problems, is that unit tests and the other testing frameworks do two things. They allow you to write the tests and they provide you a framework for running them. And as a result, you're locked into a framework for running them when you write the tests. And there was a discussion about this about 2.5 years ago at EuroPython. And I couldn't understand what was going on and I was quite worried and I did a bit of work in the area. And I wrote something called MetaTest, which is a way of writing tests without saying how they're going to be run. And I think that something along those lines would actually simplify everything a great deal, because there's two issues. There's writing tests and running tests. And if you, is your PC still on? If you go to metatest.sourceforge.net, you'll actually see a description of the work I did.
Right. So I can't help but feel that the beginner's mind thing might have been a feint, given that you've written a unit testing framework. My computer is still on. I just blanked the slide out to encourage a more peaceful discussion. So I think that unit test is the independent, is the way that separates the way you write the test and run the test. And I would like to look. I'll look at MetaTest, perhaps not now, but later, and respond to your question. I'm afraid, is it really a short description? How short's the description? Okay, let's have a look. I'd have to start Firefox. I'm sorry. I cannot do it. I just don't have the power. Okay. So, sorry. Forget it. Hi.
Can I follow up?
Yeah, sure. Follow up, please.
Yeah. If I define if I want to define a module add that contains a function plus, I just want one line at the top saying there should be a module add, and then I want to say something like add 2 + 3 = 5. And,
right.
And you can do that. It works. It's the simplest thing.
Right. Oh, okay. I see what you mean there. I think I'd be interested to see that in practice. I'm most of the tests I do tend to actually involve quite a complicated amount of imperative knowledge, not just declarative knowledge in the tests. But I'll definitely have a look, because I think that a more declarative approach can actually be a lot better. So I'm interested.
Hi. Emily Bache.
Hi, Emily.
I was just going to ask, because the original unit test was based on the JUnit, I guess.
Yeah.
So it copies the Java design to some extent. But in the Java world, they've moved to JUnit 4, which is a rewrite, which no longer has this structure. Can I just explain JUnit 4 a little bit?
Yes, please.
I mean, for a test writer, you no longer have to inherit from test case.
Mm-hmm.
You can have any structure you like, but if you put an... You use these little annotations instead. So you annotate your test method with at test, and then JUnit 4 will pick it up and run it.
Yeah.
And you annotate your setup methods. So instead of having to name it setup, you just do it at before, and that will run before the test. And then you can have at before class as well for the class setup. So Java has gone to a completely different model of writing tests, which I think fits much more with the latest version of Java. Unit test seems to me to have been written to imitate an old version of Java. And now we've written it. I saw PyTest earlier, and it seems to me that's a Pythonic implementation of a unit testing framework for Python.
Yeah.
So why are we trying to rehabilitate unit tests?
Why would I want to rehabilitate unit tests? I think that would not be my number one desire. Like the root thing that I want is people to be able to extend the way tests are run and for those to be reused regardless of what environment you're running your tests in. And if PyTest is the way to do that, then PyTest is the way to do that. And the PyTest people, I would hope, well, people who are interested in that, like me, should start going, well, how can I make Zope testing layers work in PyTest? Or how can I make nose written tests work in PyTest and so on and so forth? I mean, they might already, I hope.
We as a community perhaps need to choose one of these frameworks and try and get everyone using it. Say, this is the most Pythonic one. Can we work on this one altogether?
Yeah, perhaps. But I think Marius has a great answer. just waiting. So rather than flounder here, I'll let the microphone travel upwards. Also, system chairperson, how are we doing for time?
Thank you.
We have 5 minutes.
Cool, thank you.
So it would be best if there was one canonical framework for writing tests, but this idea didn't quite work out in the web framework world, and I have little hope for it to work in the Python, in the testing world. I would like to suggest a catchphrase. You need a WSGI for testing frameworks, and the API of the test case, testcase.run, seems to be the closest thing to that in the world. I've been living in the Zope world for last several years, and I've been using mostly doc tests, but they are all compatible with unit tests, and implement the unit test case interface. So I don't know why you think Zopers don't really care about unit tests.
Sorry, it's more that layers, Zope testing layers,
are
terrible in so many ways.
Tricky.
Pardon?
Which raises another question. I was wondering, the test resource things,
yeah.
If you acquire a resource and release the resource in every test case, how does it do the caching? How does it know that it needs to hold the resource longer to get it to
sure.
be shared between the test
there's
cases?
There's a singleton resource manager. It doesn't have to, you have a singleton resource manager. You say acquire resource when you want to get a resource. The resource manager goes, there's one more use of this. And then the next person who acquires it just gets that cached resource. If a test somehow tarnishes that resource so it can't be safely reused, it's on that test to say, or on the resource that's returned, to say, I've been dirtied. So the resource manager, please, when someone wants to get another instance of me, give them a clean one. And then the optimizing test suite works so that if you have a test that uses resource A and a test that uses resource A and B and a test that uses resource B, it will run them so that it runs A, B, B, rather than all the other way around. It's quite simple.
I've been maintaining the Zope test runner for maybe the last year or something like that.
Ah, right.
And so I was actually looking forward to splitting up all those features in there. The major work I did was cleaning it up because I needed to understand what was going on. And there are a couple of features in there, like the layers and some profiling things. And there's all kinds of stuff actually in there.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found is that trying to clean it up and making it actually separating the issues out is that running tests and extending is not that easily to separate the cross-cutting concerns. Usually you come up with a feature idea and then you see that it interacts with all the other features that you already added. So it's really, really hard to have an environment where features would not interact with each other in a negative way. So I actually see the interoperability not to be reachable in the sense of like we can all use what we want and somebody writes a test feature that's going to be usable everywhere. So then we would end up what you said about Java, which would be standardization on a single thing, which then Marius correctly pointed out wouldn't happen. I think my major point is that the cross-cutting concerns are really, really muddy, and it's really hard to do that.
I can believe you definitely. Like it with Twisted, we've made lots and lots and lots of mistakes, and I don't know the answers to many of these mistakes. And I also would like to say I don't bear a deep. My flippancy earlier was not actual disrespect for the Zope testing community. I apologize, but I really do hate layers. Apart from that, you know, I'm using an old version of Zope, and so I don't have any basis for complaint. On the other hand, I'm being told from other sources that Nose doesn't have these interoperability problems, so maybe there is a solution. Or pilot test. Did I leave anything?
For me is probably I should talk to the PyTest and those people. I know that the PyTest people...
Yeah, I should too. My ignorance is somewhat inexcusable. So just lastly, I'd like to thank my sponsors and my employers for letting me come here. I live in Sydney. Sydney is, I hope, going to be the next location for the 2011 EuroPython conference. And thank you all so much for this session. It's great fun. Cool. Cheers.